shotgun from the two. Chubb the back. Jameis the snap. Give to Chubb. Chubb running. Chubb! Touchdown! Nick Chubb did it. He stayed on his feet. The Browns take the lead. 57 seconds to go. And the Browns lead the Steelers 24-19.
Thank you to the Browns Radio Network, and that would be the final score on this one. Nick Chubb, two touchdowns last night, but the story of the game was really the weather, Perloff. I mean, the second half was unreal to watch from the comforts of your own home.
Oh, yeah.
Those poor Browns fans out there, but they seem to be loving it. They got rewarded with a win. I mean, three wins now on the season, but it was the ultimate NFL snow globe weather game.
Yeah, the second half. I think the ultimate moment was when Jameis Winston ran in the end zone and somehow jumped into midair and flew through the snow. What a beautiful image. And that, for some reason, the orange helmets just were really popping.
Yeah.
That was great. You couldn't really tell what was going on the field, per se.
Yeah, everyone was lost. The audience, broadcast. I mean, listen, I understand it, though. It's hard to tell sometimes what's going on, whether a field goal is up and in. You know, there was a lot of confusion around one penalty at the end of the game and whether it was going to be accepted or not accepted. Was it going to be 3rd and 7? Was it going to be 4th and 2? It was this old situation, but we got through it and it was a ton of fun. Yeah. Now, as far as like the long-term outlook on what this means for either team, to me, I still think the Steelers have a shot here. I like the use of Justin Fields, like the idea of it. I just wish the execution of play calling with Fields was a little bit better, because Perloff, I think that the whole game flipped when it was about 4.5 minutes left to go. The Steelers, who were down 12 heading into the fourth quarter, took the lead 19-18. They bring Fields into the game for Russell Wilson to try to salt the game away or just end the game on the ground. They do two run plays, but then go away from it with a pass play that ends up falling incomplete, and they end up punting the ball away. The Cleveland scores on the next possession.
Yeah, I just think the Steelers, the same problems they've had the last 3 or 4 years. I just don't think their offense is good enough to make any real noise in the AFC playoffs. You know, they're around 19th, 20th in total offense. Their run game is not consistent. It's not great. Najee Harris is averaging 3.9 yards per carry. It feels like when they line up on first down and run, and not even last night, like always, it's like, really? Have we seen enough of this, Mike Tomlin? I'm just not sure this approach is going to win for them. Feels like their only major differentiator is long passes to George Pickens. Can't you figure that out? I don't know why that guy's on a double team. Who's going to beat you on that team? How many Pat Freiermuth is it going to 8-yard catch you down the field? I just think the Steelers are not varied enough on offense to do anything.
Well, yeah, it's going to be hard, but I just wonder if there's another... Like, why can't they figure out the red zone thing? I guess I just don't understand it. Is it because they don't have enough weapons? Is it because of the play design? Is it because of Russ? Like, I don't know why the red zone has just been so terrible for them this year.
They're not a good offense. They're a bottom 10 offense.
I know, but some of the times I feel like it's not because of the personnel that's so bad.
It's not like, great.
They had a 2-point conversion that they tried. Yeah. That was the lowest percentage play that could possibly exist. You mentioned it. You've got Freiermuth. You've got other tight ends. You've got Pickens. You've got two running backs. You've got a mobile quarterback who's sitting on the bench. And you decide to throw this ridiculous fade into the corner that is 0.0% of chance of being caught in good weather, let alone what we saw last night, which was just a snowstorm. Like, I don't get that stuff. Like, there's got to be a better play call there for even a 2-point conversion. And that's, again, more goal line stuff.
But this is Steelers. They have no margin for error. You know every game is going to be close. So that's the problem. Eventually, like, you can't keep winning that way. It's been the story. They feel so much like last year to me, where they started off pretty hot, then they lost a bunch of games that they shouldn't have. Because there's just way too many close games for them. It's how Tomlin wants to win. I'm not sure that it's updated enough to get to the next level. And I know I'm speaking the same language as Steelers fans. We talked to Andrew Filippone, the local host in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're frustrated that the team's good enough to make the playoffs, but not great. And that's what we've been seeing this year. They're good, but are they great? And yeah, I don't think so.
We were talking about what this means for the Steelers, like moving forward. We've got a poll up, Maggie and Pearl on X. Are the Steelers a sneaky contender or get them out of here? And right now it's really close, 51% to 49. 51 say get them out, 49 say sneaky contender. So there's still a lot of belief. But EJ, you made a point last hour, and I think it's a good one worth exploring, which is The Steelers are in first place in their division. Not sure if that's going to hold necessarily, but they are going to be a playoff team. And say you have the same thing as always. You lose a playoff game, or maybe you even win and break that drought, and then you lose maybe in the second round or whatever. Is this going to fool the Steelers into giving Russell Wilson a long-term deal? And when I say long-term, probably 2 years for real. Yeah. Not four, but like two-year deal.
Yeah, kind of like Rams and Matthew Stafford right now.
Right. Give him a little, give him some salary bump.
I would say definitely.
Right, and that ultimately, is that the best thing for them? Now, to me, I know, EJ, you said they've got to get a quarterback, they've got to fix this thing. And while I agree with you, I don't think that answer is right in front of their face. It doesn't feel obvious when you're going to be picking in the 20s again to all of a sudden, you know, find your franchise quarterback. So I don't know if I hate it. I don't know if I necessarily hate having Russ there for another year. Maybe you end up trying to figure out, you know, who is the quarterback of the future? Russ can groom that guy. I don't know.
Well, it's all about, like, your expectations, right? And I think Pearl made a good point. Like, I'm thinking about what I keep hearing from Steelers fans, which is they are sick and tired of being kind of good, making the playoffs, and then losing to the Chiefs or losing somebody in the first round, kind of just, like, anonymously that we kind of forget they were even in the playoffs. And it just feels like, even though Russ is having this very solid season, that is their ceiling. Their ceiling is they're going to go to the playoffs, they're going to lose in the first round, and then that'll be the end of it. We'll say, wow, look at how Mike Tomlin got that ragamuffin offense to the playoffs. Right. And for them, that's not good enough. For those fans, that's not good enough. So if that's your expectation is Super Bowl, then this is not going to work. There's always expectation over the question of, well, what do you do if you don't bring Russ back? There might not be a great answer, but I just know that the Steelers fans are frustrated with constantly going to playoffs and winning no games or being not a real threat in the Super Bowl. And it feels like that's going to be the same situation. They're going to go to the playoffs and not be a threat to make a run.
Well, how about this formula? Keep Russ and draft a second-round quarterback, which isn't really something that works that often. I mean, once in a while, you'll get a Jalen Hurts. Usually, you'll get a Drew Locke. So, I don't know. Maybe there's got to be a second-round quarterback. Would you be happy? Would you buy that theory, Maggie?
Well, it's going to have to depend who it is, obviously, and not to be a cop-out answer, but...
No, I mean, I think you can see trends. Like, you generally know, like, you have a much better chance getting a guy in the top five and then a developmental guy. But I don't think... You point out in the show, like, they're not going to draft in the top 20, so they're not going to have that quarterback. You know who they've been linked to in the past? I was thinking about some of the names... Kirk Cousins, they liked. Maybe you switch up and you trade for Kirk Cousins, who Atlanta's probably going to want to get out of.
Yeah, but aren't you in the same situation? You got a mid-30s quarterback,
yeah.
And you don't. He's not your answer.
No, I know, but I mean, Russ is a free agent, isn't he? So they have to. They're basically starting from scratch.
No, they need. You know what they need? They need to find their Matthew Stafford. And when I say that, a guy who maybe is on a losing team but has great talent, and if you put them on the Steelers, they'd be great. Like the guy.
Wasn't that also kind of Russ?
Well,
I think Russ Wilson's
good.
Short. He doesn't throw the ball over the middle great. Like,
no, I'm saying he was on a bad team in Denver, but he has talent. Like, well, he's a Super Bowl winner. Maybe
but I think a guy who you look at
thing.
Is almost like a supernova in terms of his actual physical traits. Like, I kind of wonder, like, can they find a way to make a trade for, like, Trevor Lawrence? Like, to me, like, you need like that. Like, you need something
where it's
like...
Why would the Jags do that?
Maybe they need a hard restart. They got a guy paying a quarterback $50 million, and they're nowhere close to winning. Maybe they say, this isn't working out. Let's give Trevor somewhere where he can go win. It took the Lions 10 years to do that for Stafford, so maybe it's too early for Lawrence. But I think they need something like that to happen.
Honestly, I think Baker feels like he's more of the Steelers variety, but he just got a contract extension with Tampa.
But I think EJ's saying somebody with gigantically high upside,
yes.
Where Baker is closer to Russ, where good is the upside, not
I know,
great.
But to your point, think how long Stafford had to be in Detroit to finally
I got one.
Make that trade.
He's in New York right now, or New Jersey. How about Aaron Rodgers?
To the Steelers?
Yeah.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Good job, Manny. That's a guy with upside. He's going to have the Brett Favre next year. I mean, he's going to throw 36 touchdowns and 8 picks next year. Might as well be in Pittsburgh. No, he would probably die there, but still. I mean, why not?
Because the offensive line?
If Rodgers is floating around.
Much better than the Jets.
You have a choice between Russ and you think that Aaron Rodgers will be healthy next year.
I would not wish. You know, guys know I love Aaron Rodgers. I would not wish him having to go up against Myles Garrett twice a year.
He's a bum.
At all. That feels.
Wait a minute.
Like. Elder abuse.
If there's a world where Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin can all be in the same building, if they don't make that into a reality show, what a miss.
That'd be another guy trying to steal Mike Tomlin's gimmick. Because isn't Aaron Rodgers' thing using weird words in press conferences, just like Tomlin does?
To shoot a hostage, if you will.
Oh, Tomlin's inserting weird words? I didn't even know. Is that why he makes such nonsense?
He always inserts weird phrases and words and, yeah.
No, Tomlin, yeah, just has, like, that way of sort of the way he talks to the media. We thought Aaron Rodgers was playing a trick on everybody for a while, where he was putting, like, words from the dictionary, obscure words, and trying to work them into sentences.
You proved that was happening. That happened.
I believe that happened.
You laid it out exactly. I totally believe that happened. I got a second-round quarterback for you, by the way.
Go ahead.
Look at Mel Kiper's big board of quarterbacks. The number 7th ranked quarterback is Drew Aller out of Penn State. 7, I presume, is second round. There you go.
You're going to do another thing where you're basically drafting the guy down the street?
Yes, exactly.
That worked out terribly with
Pickett. You're saying he's Kenny Pickett 2.0?
Is he even Pickett? No, Aller's fine. But I don't like that. Can you get away from the state of Pennsylvania to try to find somebody?
Curtis Rourke is number 8. That'd be exciting.
See what he does this weekend against Ohio State.
No, it's a tricky spot. It's limbo. Like, this happens in the NBA. That's where the Steelers are. They're good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough. By the way, their Super Bowl odds did drop after last night's loss. They're now tied with the Chargers and the Texans as the 4th team in the AFC. I think the one thing about last night's loss, if they'd gone to 9-2, they would have had a real good shot at the first round bye. Now that seems off the table. So I think you have to downgrade them a little bit just based on that.
Can I tell you another team's odds that dropped? Not odds, but the draft order. What happened last night because of that Browns W?
The Giants went up. Thank you, Cleveland.
So Cleveland would have been picking 3rd in the draft. That's where they were slotted before this game. Now they're down all the way to 7th. And obviously the rest of week 12's got to play out. But these wins, while they're fun, and I'm glad for the fans in Cleveland, you got a fun, very memorable snow game yesterday. It is not helping your pursuit for the heir apparent to Deshaun Watson.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof.
Yeah, I don't know if that's this draft. I don't know if it's a tanking draft. It's supposed to be a bad draft, right? That's what they're saying. It does not. I mean, honestly, look at the quarterbacks you're tanking for. Are you really going to tank for some of these guys?
Listen, you cannot have Deshaun Watson out there next year. That's just plain and simple. You know?
Got it.
Woof, woof is right.
All right, I can't argue on that one.
Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on the Steelers or the Browns. 855-212-4227. Awesome game, snow game, just everything we love about watching football this time of year. In the meantime, we did get the news yesterday, and we don't do tons and tons of hockey on the show, but this one deserves our attention. Alex Ovechkin is out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken fibula. Okay, so he got a broken leg, but he is hot on the trail of Wayne Gretzky and breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals scored record. Now, Ovi had been just red hot and thought, wow, this could come this season, Pearl. We thought it might have to come next season. Well, now he's got a broken leg, so now everything is on hold. Kevin is in Oregon, wants to talk about it. Hey, Kev.
Hey there. I'm a retired surgeon. I wasn't a bone doctor, but I know enough about it to tell you the fibula, which Ovechkin broke, is the same bone that Isaiah Pacheco broke. It's a non-weight-bearing bone, and for an uncomplicated fracture, it's a 4 to 6 week recovery time. Now, speaking of orthopedic surgeons, the National Orthopedic Surgeon Library burned to the ground. I mean, it was a real tragedy. Both books were completely destroyed, and one of them hadn't even been colored in yet.
Is that some kind of doctor joke?
I'm sorry. That's the best I could do. But yeah. The Pacheco, I mean, Ovechkin.
Was that some kind of sick burn on orthopedic surgeons?
Sorry.
Wait, Kevin, what kind of surgeon were you? Were you like that you looked down upon the. Oh, he hung up. Was that some kind of doctor joke?
Wait, are orthopedic surgeons not well thought of?
Apparently not.
Maybe.
They're big in our world.
Yeah, that's all I know. So brain surgeons, that's the top of the. Oh, food chain, I think.
Do you power rank surgeons?
It must, as you go down the body, it gets less and less important.
I'm actually kind of shocked that there's any bone in your lower body that's not weight bearing.
Yeah, I think I saw a graph on that with some player the other day where, like, this bone's okay. I don't know. Which one is, what's the song? The knee bone is technically connected to the hip bone, as I recall as a kid.
I think they're all weight bearing, though, but obviously, you know, Kevin's going to know more than us. I think top of the food chain has got to be either brain surgeon or
heart surgeon.
Heart. a transplant surgeon. I think it's got to be up there.
Good answer.
I think it's brain surgeon is number one.
But what about people like who have back surgery? I mean, that's pretty intense.
I feel like back surgery is like maybe the highest degree of difficulty. I feel like that never works.
Or it does. I mean, you just got to have a real steady hand.
There are so many people who have back surgery that say never get back surgery. Steve Kerr being one of them.
Yeah. My mom got back surgery, though, and she needed it, and she's great now.
That's great. And some people, it works out great, and then some people, you become Ben Simmons. Like, it's or Larry Johnson, who's a great player, but never was the same. Like, there's a big controversy about whether or not if back surgery is really, like, the answer for depending on what your injury is. Sometimes you have no choice. If you fracture your back or whatever, sometimes you have no choice, but that's a whole thing.
Totally. Avoid surgery at all costs. Did you see yesterday, Jair Alexander, the Packers corner, has a torn PCL, and he's like kind of day-to-day. I was like, what is going on here? They don't know. He's like, well, I'm not sure. I could probably play on it. I was like, what does that mean? EJ, that's your territory now that you know the knee so well.
No, I saw that too, and I was like, I guess maybe it's a minor tear. Maybe
Not, you know. Some guys also tear their meniscus, and they're back in 3 weeks. These guys are insane.
You know what? They're trying to do these really short-term remedies on these guys. So who knows? They're shooting it up with cortisone or what have you just
like
to get out there.
Tightrope surgery or something like that?
Yeah, like EJ had time to heal, you know? And so that's great. You get the luxury of time, right? Nate is in Alaska. He's our pal who once watched a bear pull up to a drive-through KFC in Alaska. Hey, Nate.
First off, why you got to throw Alaska underneath the bus whenever I tune in? All because of a snowy football game.
Did I say? I'm like, this isn't Fairbanks, Alaska. Yeah, sorry.
And I don't even live in Fairbanks, but I haven't had any snow here. I mean, I got snow out here, but I mean, it's not been snowing for like over a month.
Yeah, but Fairbanks, they get a lot of snow up there.
Yeah, they also really got a lot of cold things up there, like -50 degrees, which I don't have.
Listen. Nate, you might live there, but I watch a lot of shows on National Geographic about what it's like to live in Alaska, so I also know a thing or two.
Oh, yeah, because we all know that those are just perfect shows.
Yeah.
Perloff, by the way, he sounds like he's kidding. He's not.
Yeah. I watch Living Below Zero, Poor Protection, Alaska. I know it's all I do is watch survivalists or Alaska shows. Obsessed. Yeah.
Well, I live up here, so anytime you want to just message me on the Facebook or whatever, I can tell you stuff.
Nate, you are the expert. Don't let Perloff convince you that he knows more about living in Alaska than someone who lives in Alaska.
Anyways, I just wanted to say two things. The fact that Ovi, because I brought this up to you, I think, two or three calls ago, and I said how big it was going to be for him to pass Gretzky because I thought he was going to do it this year and he was on a tear. And now how crazy do you think it would be if it's a 4 to 6 week thing? That's only what, a little over a month. If he comes back and still does it, how big is that going to be?
It would be massive. I mean, Nate, I don't even think it would be one of the biggest stories in sports. And Nate, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you. He's 26 goals away from behind the record, right? And he already had 15 this season. So he's at 868, 26 behind the record, 894 held by Gretzky.
So now he's got to come back. I don't think he was going to retire anyway, right?
No, he's going to come back. It's
so
just
maybe we have to wait till. I don't think he can do it, Maggie.
Well, here's the thing: when you come back off of this injury, are you automatically picked right up where you left off, or do you need a little time to find your legs?
I would think 26 goals coming off a broken leg, not going to happen. But that's fine.
Feels really hard.
We can wait. I was
39 years old.
I was fully on this bandwagon about this story, and now I'm off.
That's simple. That was 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the guy broke his leg. What do you want me to do? We have to do it next year. Next fall, I'm going to be really into it again.
How about this? And I didn't realize this was the case with Ovechkin. 39 years old. Guess how many games he's missed due to injury or other absences, suspensions, or COVID-19 throughout his career?
I mean, there's been so many. I mean, just 2004, there was the NHL lockout. So, I mean, there's at least 82 right there.
Well, not that one. Ah. That's everybody. Just Ovechkin.
I don't have the slightest idea.
He entered the league in 2005-2006 season. He's now 39. He's missed 35 games his whole career. That's like Joel Embiid's October. Amazing. 855-212-4227. All right, little hockey talk for you. A little hockey tack.
Talking that hockey.
We got a lot more for you. We're going to keep an eye on this Ovechkin story, obviously, like everyone else. But coming up, this is a very important college football weekend, and we've got some college football news for you that you must hear. We're going to do that next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. All right. Welcome back. Maggie Perloff Show. Got a lot of assignments today, including figuring out the Steelers' future at quarterback. A lot of interesting choices. It's so funny. If they had improved to 9-2, we'd be like, let's ride Russ to the Super Bowl. Now we're like, hey, what do you think of maybe Kirk Cousins in Pittsburgh next year? One loss in the snow has a lot of impact, but it is an important game because they fall from 8-2 to 8-3. Now they just feel like another team in the AFC playoff mess.
But to be fair, Russ played well last night.
He made throws I could not believe. I'm like, why is he good in cold weather? I know he played one season in Wisconsin, but...
I mean, considering the weather, how terrible it was, he actually was completing passes in this blinding snowstorm. If the Steelers were able to run the ball at all on a 3rd-and-2 or anything,
yeah,
they would have walked away with the win, but they couldn't run the ball last night.
Probably. I mean... It was a close game. It felt like Jameis was waiting until he was down at the very end to really show his best stuff.
Was that after the fumble or after the interception?
When the Steelers went up 19-18, I was like, oh my gosh, Jameis is totally rattled in the snow. There's no way he's going to lead them back down, and he led them right back down.
He did. Let's go to Big Friendly. Big Friendly joining us from California. We love him. Big Friendly, you've got a sneaky next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You realize that, right?
Why is that?
Who are you calling to talk about?
Well, I was calling because Wednesday you guys were talking about the gentleman Brock Purdy in Frisco. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday I couldn't get to the phones because I was busy. So I just wanted to tap in real quick before I remind Perloff about the small jersey bet this Sunday, Rams and Eagles. But you guys were talking about whether Brock Purdy deserves to be paid or not.
Right.
I would say this. If we look at Daniel Jones, a.k.a. Danny Loose Change, he got paid. How many playoff games has he won?
One.
Yeah, but nobody thinks that. That's like the classic mistake of paying a guy. So that's not a good example.
I know.
But go ahead.
So I was saying, I'm sorry, Daddy Cool. Yeah. So we can go to Jacksonville. You look at Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. He got paid. He has one playoff win. I would feel more comfortable, and this is a Rams fan saying this, I'd feel more comfortable paying Brock Purdy because at least he's played in the Super Bowl and has made it to NFC championships. He's been to the big games. And it's just unfortunate that, if you ask me, Kyle Shanahan is the problem in Frisco. Mm.
Okay, so yesterday, Shireen Williams, who's been covering the league for 30 years, was asking the question about how safe is Kyle Shanahan. And we all acknowledge that he is a good coach, Big Friendly. I think even you would say that. But is there a possibility that he might be out? And that's what started the ball rolling, a little snowball, if you will, apropos of last night, which is, could they also move on from Purdy? Say they keep Shanahan, would they want to look for an Aaron Rodgers type or something else? And how much upheaval is potentially on the doorstep for the 49ers? It kind of feels like all or nothing. Either we get a massive change, Shanahan, mm-hmm. Purdy, they move on from one of those guys, or it remains status quo, and I don't know if there's an in-between.
Well, Purdy's under contract,
Maggie.
Though.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Big Friendly.
Sorry, I apologize. Before you guys cut me off real quick, I agree with you. I think if you were to ask me, I'd say you get rid of Shanahan, because at the end of the day, the man can only go so far. And Magsy, real quick, Daddy Cool, Sunday, Rams, Eagles, small jersey bet. Magsy, Big Dave threw his hat in for the waffle eating contest. Hey, you know what? Big Friendly, Big Dave, and Magsy, I could put my hat in there too. So, if you need help. But other than that, I just wanted to get at you, Daddy Cool. Respect. But this Sunday, on Monday, I plan on seeing you wearing a small Rams jersey.
Wait. We made this bet?
Yeah.
Oh, Daddy Cool, you forgot this bet. Let's back this
up. I have no idea what you're talking
about. We made a bet. I explained to you, I sent EJ a picture of me in a very small Detroit Lions jersey.
Have not seen that.
That I bet my cousin last year. And me and you made the bet with the Eagles and Rams because I had told you that. I'm sure there's a lot of jerseys you can wear. There's certain jerseys I can't wear.
Okay. So I have to wear a small Rams jersey?
Yes, and if the Eagles win on Monday, I will take a picture in a small Eagles jersey. I will autograph it for you, mail it to you, but I will send EJ the picture of it so you guys can put it wherever you want.
Where do I get the Rams? I don't have a Rams. Big Friendly, I don't have a Rams jersey.
We can find a children's size Rams jersey. Yeah, so wait. It's 2024.
Hey. But if you want it by Monday, I'm not sure. I can get it in time.
I don't know if Monday might be
hard. It doesn't have to be by Monday. Yeah. If the Rams lose Sunday, I will be going to buy my Eagle jersey on Sunday. I'm just saying.
And you have
Daddy
a player?
Cool, you could take your time, but I like to pay off my bets quick if I lose.
Hey, Big Friendly, what jersey you want me to buy? Are we talking like Tutu Atwell? Do I get Stafford? What do you want to see here?
Hey, Daddy Cool, you the man, so your pick is your pick. I just want to see you in a Ram jersey that should be fitting your 5-year-old daughter, if you had a 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Close enough.
And you guys have a great day. And Magsy, keep me in mind for that waffle eating contest.
Yeah.
You guys have a great day, and I'm out of here.
Friendly always puts us in such a good mood. I love that this has become a group activity for the Waffle House, especially because as EJ, we were going back and forth on Twitter yesterday, there's not a Waffle House in New Jersey. So I already have to travel to pay off this bet. So somewhere between Kentucky and California is where I can find a Waffle House.
Can I give you the script here? It's kind of like in Rudy when they cut Rudy and everyone shows up at the coach and puts their jersey down. Maggie's dying. She's like, I can't eat another waffle. Then out of nowhere, the loyal listeners show up and eat the waffles for her. It is going to be, and the music swells up. It is going to be a feel-good holiday movie to get through Waffle House. This is going to be dramatic and amazing.
Maggie.
Eat that
Maggie,
last one.
Maggie.
And then Maggie throws up on everyone's shoes.
Just like how Rudy ended. It's so funny. It's exactly the same ending.
I lost that. I actually won that bet, so I didn't have to go there. You know what my thing would have been? I would be like, I would order a side of oatmeal and bacon and sausage. Because if you're a Waffle House, I mean, you're going to have some bacon. You can't not have bacon with your pancakes.
I love that I'm just shoving the waffles down my throat as quickly as possible, and Perloff sitting there with a cup of tea.
He's watching me
reading the Wall Street Journal, taking his time like we're at brunch.
If I'm sitting at Waffle House, I'll probably out-eat you on this day. I go to town at Waffle House.
Then maybe you can do the bet for me.
I would love to do it. It's just too many carbs. I'd like to mix in some protein.
Talking about carbs or paying off a bet. This is why I need Big Friendly and I need Big Dave. It's like solidarity.
I'll eat a ton of food at Waffle House. And I'll take down 3 or 4 of your pancakes. That sounds really weird.
Waffles.
Waffles. Oh, wait. Okay.
I thought there was one in New Jersey, just not close.
No, it's also not. It's called the Waffle House, but it's not an actual Waffle House. It was a knockoff. And so
McDowell's.
Yeah. Yeah, the Golden Arcs. So I actually called and I was talking to our former boss, Spike Eskin, who has done some Waffle House stuff. He told me there is one in Pennsylvania. There's also one in Maryland.
There's also definitely one near the University of Delaware.
Okay.
Oh, so that's near Philly.
Which is not, that's certainly a better drive than Maryland.
Yeah,
my neck of the woods too, Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. It's not too far from where you live.
And Spike said he would show up.
He did say that.
Now, he's vegan, so I don't know what the waffles, if he can eat those, but...
I think he's there just to laugh at you. I don't think he's there to actually... He's not Big Friendly or Big Dave. He's just...
No,
not Big Spike.
No. I'll take it. I'll take the help.
I always wonder when someone calls it with the name Big, are they literally big? Because when I first started working here with CBS Sports Radio, Mike Samter was the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And his Twitter handle was Big Mike at CBS. Everyone's like, oh, Big Mike. And then I got in and he was not big.
Yeah.
So ironic. Are these ironic bigs or are these real bigs?
I prefer the ironic big.
Yeah.
If your nickname is Fats, you need to be 5'6", 110 pounds.
Yeah. And Tiny's got to be 6'7", 350.
Yes. If you're tiny, you got to be Nate Newton size. There's no doubt about it. Right. But remember when I asked you, your face, I said, Mike Samper, he must be huge, right? You're like, not so much.
Well, also,
he's huge for a baby.
He puts Big Mike on everything. He even somehow, when you share contact information with him, his comes up in all caps. I'm like, dude, the jig is up.
As Big Mike?
No, it's just Mike Samter in all capital letters.
When you get a call in and it's all caps, I was like, oh, I don't trust this caller at all. Right?
It's like someone shouting. No, we once put Mike Samter in a box and pushed it over.
Shoebox.
Don't get any ideas from you guys.
There was a dummy around here for a while. Do you guys remember that? The Craig Carton dummy. It looked exactly like Craig Carton. And the box it came in was kind of like 4 feet tall. And one day we put Samter in it and then we pushed it over. That was probably an HR violation.
Definitely.
Samter, Bogish, back to you with headlines. Hello.
Wow. Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code WHATEVER. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play
$5. I offended you. I didn't mean it.
You called me Samter.
I made a mix-up.
Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. The Steelers on a 7-quarter streak without a touchdown. They were stuck on 6 points last night in Cleveland into the fourth quarter, and then scoring got easy.
Wilson gets the snap. Browns bringing 5 men. Throws over the middle of the field. Calvin Austin, touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Calvin Austin, you're a giant, man. What a giant. I mean, to come through in a post pattern right there, and Russ led him perfectly, dropped it right in.
That Steelers radio, second touchdown in less than 2 minutes with a Jameis Winston fumble in between. Jameis then picked off on the Browns' following possession, but the Steelers could not add on to their one-point lead. A bad Pittsburgh punt helped set up Nick Chubb's go-ahead 2-yard TD run with 57 seconds left. 27 combined points in the snow in the fourth quarter last night. It ended with the Browns winning 24-19, ending the Steelers' 5-game win streak. Mike Tomlin saying Mike Tomlin things postgame.
It's painful, but it's life in this business. We'll take a look at the tape and learn from it. Man, we're in the midst of some thick AFC North action, and so no rest for the weary, man. We got a big one coming up.
That would be in Cincinnati 2 Sundays from now.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
That's the perfect analogy. It's thick. Mm. I get that. Feels like the schedule's getting heavy.
But it's also not nom. So there's like...
taking heavy fire.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't fear sudden death.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame's Contributor Committee has reportedly passed over Robert Kraft once again. Their nominee is expected to be Ralph Hay, who co-founded the NFL and owned the Canton Bulldogs. He'll be under consideration for induction alongside a coach candidate, 3 old-time players, and that main group of 15.
You know what I know about Ralph Hay, by the way?
Feels kind of like a troll of Belichick.
Yeah, one thing Ralph Hay never did was tape his opponent's signals on the sidelines. So that's why Ralph Hay's in and Robert Kraft's out.
You can say that with confidence because there were not cameras in 1919 when you owned the Canton Bulldogs.
The moving image was still in its infancy. Sorry, I meant this is a troll to Robert Kraft. He's definitely, this is a message being sent by the committee, right?
Well, he's been lobbying, as long as I can remember, at least 15 years, he's been lobbying to get in this Hall of Fame.
Also, has there ever been, like, a news break to be like, news break, guys, Robert Kraft, age 90, whatever, not going to the Hall of Fame? Like, I was very scared when I first saw that Schefter tweet. Mm. I was like, oh, no. And he's like, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, led the dynasty, has been passed. I was like, oh, my God. And it's like over for the Hall of Fame. I'm like, why'd you tweet it like that?
You're right. That isn't, it is news, but normally the people who don't make it in, like we didn't, I bet he didn't tweet that the other 15 years when he didn't get in.
Definitely
but
not.
No, this Kraft Hall of Fame thing has been a big deal because he, like every big NFL writer says, oh, I get calls from the Patriots every other week saying it's time for Robert Kraft to get in. He's been doing a massive campaign to do this. He
and I
really
think he
desperately wants it.
Yeah. To be honest, I think the Dynasty series on Apple TV rubbed some people the wrong way because it felt, maybe it backfired a little because it felt like he was trying to, not that he shouldn't take credit for the Dynasty. He obviously funded the whole thing, traded for Belichick, the whole deal, but it feels a little like overkill.
Well, I mean, he has 6 Super Bowl rings and Jerry Jones has 3 and they both are at the top of the major committees and Jerry's in and he's not. Is there any other explanation other than, I think it's more the cheating. You're right about the documentary. That probably did rub people the wrong way. But still, there's no reason that Jerry should be in and he shouldn't be in.
Yeah, but it's not like Robert Kraft set up the cameras and started taping.
Right, but you know, you'd have one major cheating scandal followed up by another major cheating scandal.
You think he knew anything about the PSI of the footballs?
I think ultimately, yeah, it goes, no, of course not, but if that atmosphere of playing fast and loose with the rules goes up the chain.
Do you think that Belichick will have a similar weight because of that?
No.
Okay, so it's a Kraft-specific backlash because Brady's getting in at first chance, too.
Belichick should definitely get it held against him, right? At least 1 year.
I don't.
For Spygate? Because they continued to do this. I know they got in trouble for it, and they continued to do it.
There's got to be another reason why they're not letting them in. This doesn't make sense to me.
Apparently, there's a backlog. We're only getting the co-founder of the NFL in the Hall of Fame in 2024.
That's true.
Fair.
I've never heard of Ralph Hay in my entire life.
Me neither.
That's why it feels like a troll, doesn't it? It feels like they're sending a message with this.
Like, who presented Ralph Hay? Everybody gets a presenter. Like, yeah. Nobody was alive for Ralph Hay.
And if we're being honest, Ralph can wait posthumously, right, to go in another year.
Definitely.
Like, we could get Kraft in now while he's still
also
with
enjoy
us.
It. Yeah. The Hall of Fame is also kind of a TV product. Like, wouldn't you want Robert Kraft giving a speech? Yeah. Then, like, and no disrespect to Hayes, Mr. Hayes' family, but, like, you know, okay, like maybe a descendant of Mr. Hayes talking about
a great great grandkid.
Yeah, I mean,
or
like, you know, Robert Kraft is Robert Kraft.
I mean, there are other things too. Do you consider Aaron Hernandez? Like, they knew Aaron Hernandez was
no,
trouble.
I don't think so.
I mean, they drafted low character people again and again and again and again, and it's one of the reasons they won six Super Bowls.
I'm with Pearl. I think there's something else besides this Spygate thing, because I don't think Belichick's going to get bit for this. I don't think Brady's going to get bit for this. Why is Kraft being held? I don't know why this is being held against him. I don't get it.
I think that there was a long time when people thought that they were getting favorable treatment, the Patriots.
Like what?
Well, with Spygate destroying the tapes, not, you know, and handling all that stuff behind the scenes. I think people believe that they still continue to cheat after that, and the league used really soft, like a soft touch with them. Now, the Brady suspension seemed almost a pendulum swing in the other direction, right? Like, that was a little too harsh.
I mean,
Spygate
was, I think at the time, like the biggest penalty that had ever been laid down. It was huge. And also, too, it was just for a video taping procedural error, according to the Patriots. I honestly thought Spygate and Deflategate seems silly in retrospect to me. Like, of all the scandals, like, if you explain to a kid what they are, they're like, that was a big deal?
Well, especially Spygate.
Spygate's a little like Connor's. Like, Connor Stallions at least put on a fake mustache. Spygate, the dude just pointed his camera like 40 degrees different than what they, unless there's more cheating scandals behind the scenes that we don't know. I feel like these are not, like, keep you out of the Hall of Fame kind of things.
I also feel hypocritical that, like, we've accepted Belichick and Brady. I know this isn't a media thing per se, but we've accepted them into the football, post-football world. Like, they're on TV all the time. They're doing everything. Like, you think these guys are cheaters. Why are you embracing them?
But Robert Kraft is embraced. I see him dancing with Cardi B. I mean, it's like,
that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's a particular embrace.
And he's also Jerry Jones, they say, built the league. Kraft had a huge part of all these TV deals. Like, he's a massively important owner.
Maybe it was the massage parlor thing. I don't think it's that.
I forgot about that one.
Jerry Jones has got his own unsavory personal life stuff. I mean, Eddie DeBartolo had major off the field scandals.
That was like kind of financial crimes.
It was financial crimes, yeah. But I'm saying,
in that world, that's business as usual.
All right. Okay.
But I forgot about I totally forgot about the massage parlor. Maybe.
I mean, I was gonna say something there.
Yeah, don't
he got away with that or. He wasn't punished.
He wasn't punished, but it's also it was a different thing than unwanted advances towards women too. Like, there was at least a thing
that I'd be careful on that, because some people think that there's trafficking involved in what was going on.
Okay, fine.
Actually, that's what the arrest was for.
Yeah.
Right. But it still feels like a thing that's not. It's in the same neighborhood, but not an apples to apples comparison. It'd be an odd thing to hold against him, but then not hold Jerry's things against Jerry to get him. Like, that's a weird line to draw.
Well, if
that's
what going into people's personal lives,
right? If that's what's going on,
but it became public though. I mean,
yeah, but we also have seen some pretty gross Jerry Jones
public. I mean, the thing with his daughter, but I don't know.
You remember those pictures where the woman was holding his crotch in the bathroom of a
Yeah.
He wasn't holding his crotch, was he? I remember that picture, yeah.
I'm out.
Was it for Maggie? All the innuendos happened on the show. Someone holding Jerry's crotch was too much.
It was in a bathroom, right?
Yeah, it was a bathroom picture.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had a line, but apparently I do. And that
deeper.
It appeared to have crossed it. Cannot talk about that. We got to go to break anyway. Thank God. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We'll get to that in just a moment. Again, big college football news we're going to get to as well. Hang tight. Major, major college football games this weekend. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Top of the list, Pearl, you'd probably have to put Indiana going to Ohio State in the horseshoe. This is just huge for Indiana. I think, obviously, Ohio State's going to be fine either way. Even if, you know, you've been playing a lot of top teams. They played Penn State. Close loss to Oregon in Oregon. Ohio State's the second team in the country. They're actually the odds-on favorite. Are they second in
I thought Oregon might
championship odds?
They keep flip-flopping with Oregon.
I know. We got to check Georgia's like, up third, to the minute. Right?
I mean, the funny thing is there's Ohio State, if they win this game, could play Oregon three times.
That doesn't
which is,
feel...
Yeah, it doesn't
fair
feel
for
right.
Either side.
And it also makes it very hard to predict how that will come out. It's really hard to beat teams twice. Do you have a lean in this way? Because I'm rooting for Indiana. I'm going to be honest with that. But you're right. Ohio State, I like Ohio State too, but they'll still be there. I think it's going to be really hard. I think Ohio State talent level is just, and they're going to be up for this game. You don't come out flat because there's a lot of hype here.
Okay, now this is going to feel like a little in the weeds, yeah. But stay with me. I think the news that we got earlier this week with Ohio State is actually big news. And the news was their center tore his Achilles tendon in practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, just your worst nightmare of that to happen anytime, let alone in practice. So this is an offensive line that's already had to shuffle the deck multiple times because of injury. Now you've got a major game coming in, undefeated Indiana, so much at stake. And you have to shuffle the offensive line yet again. Now, I realize you're at home. So with the cadences and stuff like that, the crowd noise may not be a factor as much as if you were, say, in the Big House or something this weekend. But still, mm-hmm. I think that's a really big deal. Remember last year with the college football playoff? What was one of the big issues for Alabama? Center snapping the ball over Jalen Milroe's head. I mean, we take these things for granted mm-hmm. that these quarterback center exchanges and all calling out all the protections and all of the things that a center could be asked to do. You now have someone new coming in and doing that 3 days before the game.
So you lean in Indiana?
I am actually, I'll give you a spoiler because we're going to make picks. I am staying as far away from this game as possible in terms of the spread. As far as the over-under is concerned, I may have a lean that way. I think I'd be leaning under in this game. But again, I really think this, it's weird to say offensive line. We take it for granted. I think this injury is going to have an effect on the game.
Yeah, but the thing with Indiana is like, what have you seen that makes you think that they can compete with this level of team? We just haven't seen enough.
Well, because they've been blowing out the teams that they are expected to blow out. Now, they did face a much better Michigan defense, and you saw what happened. That was a one-score game.
That looked bad. So, we'll see. That should be fun. It would be great if Indiana won this game. Oh, my God. Then I'd be wearing full Hoosiers gear on Monday.
Of course you would.
I was really into Indiana when Penix was there. That was my team. And then when he got hurt, I was just like, I'm never going to watch Indiana football again. But now I'm back in, baby.
Look at Kurt Cignetti and Curtis Rourke and all these guys who came from James Madison. And look at what they have done now with Indiana. They're now a football school. How about that?
I have a counter for the center take. How about you just run Jeremiah Smith 40 yards down the field and throw it up and watch him catch it and go to the playoff?
You could do that, but Indiana has good corners, and they've got a good defensive line, and Ohio State's rushing attack has not been what we thought it was going to be, and now this is even going to be more difficult with the center out of the game, the starting center. Okay, lots more to do, including Micah Parsons saying crazy things. No, we once put Mike Samter in a box and pushed it over.